Well, it's a blessing to be here this morning after my wife and I are traveling, and I told her last week that we haven't been in Bedford for a long time, so let's just walk in Sunday mornings. But the other side of the coin is I do want to be a servant of the Lord and be used where He wants me to be used. God bless you, sister, for sharing your testimony this morning. The Bible tells us that they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So continue to share your testimony for the glory of God. I appreciated being here this morning. A lot of things went through my mind. About the rich young ruler. A lot of food for thought out there. One thing we need to be convinced of is the Bible does tell us that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And Christ gave put six of the Ten Commandments before Him. I do believe He was morally pure. I believe He never hated anyone. He never said a lie. He always was obedient to His parents. That's what the Bible says. But one of the commandments in Exodus 20 is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." And Christ Himself knew very well this rich young ruler had a God that stood between him and his Maker. And the Bible says if he was kept nine of the Ten Commandments, but he failed in one, he's in the same shoes we were, right? We're his guilty of all. You know, I don't forget who it was this morning, shared about praying and preaching. This is not original to me, but I love this thought that praying is speaking to God on behalf of people, and preaching is speaking to people on behalf of God. So I want to preach to you this morning on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abner, I talked to you a week ago, last night, I think it was. Well, that's still on my heart. I'm churning it every day, meditating upon it. This morning, I would like to just share what I feel the Lord has been stirring in my heart the last while. I talked to Brother Abner the other evening, last Saturday evening. And that's on the book of Revelations. Now, I'm going to share with you right up front. That's not an easy book to preach out of. There is much in it. And there's probably no book in the Bible that there's more diversity in the body of Christ than in the book of Revelations. It's not... A lot of people say that there's no greater history book. This is the greatest history book that's ever printed. And I appreciate that thought. But when we get into the book of Revelations, it's not as much a book of history as it is of revelations of Jesus Christ, and very prophetic. We are at home in our cell groups. In our cell group at home, we are going through the book of Revelations the last 6 months. And I believe as we study history, we look into church history, I believe that every true believer in every age has been looking for the return of Jesus Christ for His church. I think it started with the apostles. They, in their generation, were looking for the return of Jesus Christ. But according to the Scriptures, not everybody is going to heaven. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," is going there. It is therefore very important for us to make sure that we are on the right track. Some of the things that I feel that the Lord wants me to share today, you know, for different interpretations or different ideas of the book of Revelation, I'll be very lenient and give you some space to differ with me. But I want you, in return, to give me a little space too. One thing that we know of, that God is no respecter of persons. But everyone, just because the Bible says not all that say, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but everyone that truly and sincerely repents and calls on God can and will be saved. Revelations, the book of Revelations, is the last book in the Bible. It's the last message that God gave to the church. Each day brings us closer to the fulfillment of all the prophecies and the predictions that are in this book. And you know, we are a people that when somebody is on their deathbed or somebody has died, especially if they're close to our close family, mother, father, son, daughter, husband, wife, whoever it would be, we are always very interested, what was the last thing they said? Is that true? Absolutely, that's true. You know, when I was 2.5, almost 3 years ago, I was in Pakistan when my mother died. The first thing I wanted to know is, what was her last words? The last words often mean something to us. You know, the Christian church cherishes, we call them the seven sayings of the cross. I think they might be eight, but that's immaterial. The seven sayings of the cross. Why? Because it was Christ's last words before He died. So the book of Revelations is the last message that God gave us in this book, what we call the Holy Bible. So we should be, we should take a special interest to the last words that God has given us in His holy book. The book of Revelations, the intent of this book. What does the last book say? The first five words of the first chapter of Revelations is the intent of this book. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. it is a revelation. What do we mean when we talk about a revelation? It's an unveiling. It's a drawing back of the curtain. And you know, I believe it was God's intent, it is still God's heart, that this book is not supposed to be a difficult book, yet it is. I don't want to contradict myself, but it's a complicated book to come to together with all the different interpretations and what people get out of it. And I'm going to share something right here. I don't care what background you're from. I don't care if you grew up in the streets, or if you're a converted prostitute, or if you have a religious background. I'm especially going to talk to those that grew up in the church from many different backgrounds. It is very hard not to filter your interpretation of scriptures through your culture. Is that true? It's very hard not to. You know, I'll just say something, and I want to give room for different opinions. But you talk to a strong Calvinist, he sees Calvinism on every page in the Bible. You talk to a strong charismatic, they see tongues on every page of the Bible. Do you know why? They interpreted through their culture. And we're not exempt. We interpret through our culture. But, brothers and sisters, do we realize how many things we believe in, we say we believe in, how many things we have a strong conviction on? And the reason we believe that is because that's what somebody told us, or that's what somebody taught us. And we've never went into the Bible ourselves to see what does the Bible really say. And I think it's time for the church to take a fresh look at what the Bible really says. And give room, give space for different interpretations. This book is not intended to be difficult. It is not intended to make things hard. I think God wants the Bible to be easy and clear to us. A revelation from God is to clarify the subject matter, whatever it may be. And this book came directly from God. Its source is God. God gave the revelation to Jesus Christ to show who? His servants. Are you this morning one of Christ's servants? Are you? I believe if you are one of Christ's servants this morning, you are not excluded from the promises in this revelation. God gave this revelation to Jesus Christ to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. No question asked to the intent of the last book. The book of Revelations is a unique book, and it is different from many other books in the Bible. I think there's 66 books in the Bible. Is that correct? For Old and New Testament? But this book is different than most of the others. But its intent of this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The content of this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The content. The first five words. The revelation of Jesus Christ. No doubt, in Revelations, there are new disclosures about Jesus Christ. We see Jesus Christ functioning in ways that the Gospel and the Epistles do not show. But it is very important to understand that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the subject of this book. That's not downplaying anything in the book. That's not downplaying any prophetic scriptures. That's not downplaying nothing. It's that Jesus Christ is the subject of this book. The scriptures state things which must shortly come to pass. You know, therefore, that's why we can call it, it's a book, it's a prophetic book. A book of prophecies, a book of predictions. It's more that than a book of history. If we read through the book of Revelations, beloved brother John heard a voice 28 times. A voice or voices speaking to him. And he saw visions 44 times. A challenge. The challenge is it's a blessing. There's a blessing upon all who read and upon all who hear. We are promised a blessing for those that read this book and they that hear. That blessing, that promise should urge us to read this book often and carefully. A charge in this book is a blessing upon all who keep those things that are written herein. And the idea of keeping in this content here is not just keeping for the sake of keeping. It is in the sense of obeying and following its truth. We see a calendar in this book. The time in verse 3, Revelation chapter 1, the time is at hand. Things which must shortly come to pass. The time is near. These events must shortly come to pass and be fulfilled. And I'm going to say those that are not fulfilled yet. But the Bible says they must shortly come to pass. You know, an agnostic could take that quote and wonder, well, this was said almost 2,000 years ago. Between 1900 and 2,000 years ago. Well, brother and sister, time really means very little to the Lord. In fact, 1,000 years is like 24 hours. God is not bound by time, because the Bible still says that time is at hand. There's a challenge, there's a charge, and there's a calendar before us. The reason we cannot afford to neglect the reading and the hearing and the keeping of this book is because the time is at hand. If we look in the book of the Revelations, we look at verse 12, chapter 1, to verse 16, we find 11 different things that give us a picture of Jesus Christ that no other book or chapter in the Bible give. But before I read that, I'd like to go back to Psalm 22 and read some scriptures there about some prophetic scriptures about Jesus Christ. Psalm 22. Just picture and visualize. As I read these verses, just allow God to open our hearts and allow any scripture that connects with what I'm saying. Then paint a picture. All the scriptures you know about Jesus Christ, the sufferings of Jesus Christ, His humanity. Try and paint the picture in your own mind what God wants to show us. Psalm 22, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but Thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in Thee, they trusted, and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee, and were delivered. They trusted in Thee, and were not confounded. But I'm a worm, no man. A reproach of men despiseth the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But Thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon Thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. They part my garments upon them and cast lots upon my vesture. I could read on, but I'm going to quit there. Let's go to Isaiah 53 and read some other scriptures. Just ask God. Let's just ask God to show us a picture of what He wants us to see as we read these scriptures of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and was the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul on the death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, peace from him which is, peace from him which was, peace which him from which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha, I am Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty God. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, which was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now listen to here. And I turned, this is John talking, to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps was golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like on the fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. The Bible doesn't say dead, but it says as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first. Fear not, I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars in the are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Paint the picture of some of these prophetic scriptures in Psalm 22, and then go into Isaiah 53 and see how our Savior looked. The vision of the picture you have of Him reading those scriptures. Now we go into Revelations, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we see a picture that no other book in the Bible paints of Jesus Christ. And can you picture how it would be? You might have been sick already. You might have been anointed with oil. And brothers come. Doesn't have to be ordained men. They lay hands on you. They pray over you. There's always such a blessing in something like that. Just 2 weeks ago, one morning, I got up and I knew that God wanted me to be anointed. I called for the elders of the church and I was anointed in the name of the Lord. And when those brethren laid hands on me, blessings, sacred, it was beautiful. Picture being John, the Revelator, on the island of Patmos, and Jesus Christ Himself laying His right hand on you, and giving a message to the church in America. Is that taking it out of context? Giving a message to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which I do believe is a message for the church through the church age. This book, you know, as we in our at home going through the cell group, as we were going through chapter 11 and chapter 12 and chapter 13, I mean, give me some space. It was a good, gory book. I mean, there's just things that it was almost impulsive. But when it came to chapter 14, I mean, God used that to do a work in my heart. And I told Abner the other night, I said, you know, there's people, there's brothers at home over the past 12 years said, man, why don't you preach more out of the book of Revelations? You know what my excuse was? Shall I preach my interpretation or yours? Preach the Word of God. There's a lot of different interpretations. People look at it different. And I grant that and bless you. But before we just eat something because we heard it or we read it in another book, let's go into the Scriptures and just be willing to take a fresh look. What does the Bible say? And after I saw that, you know, in this book, yes, Satan, demons, dragons, Antichrist, serpents, mark of the beast, pits, chains, hell. You know, 1,000 years. I'm not belittling that. It's all in the book. But beloved, my burden and what I feel God showed me, it does not matter what... Yes, it matters. But whatever God has in mind to fulfill these... I'm not going to call them gory scriptures, but I'll use that word to get my point across. They're all temporal. It doesn't matter if it's 1,000 years. It's temporal. And brothers, there's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where in the book does it call us kings and priests? Other than in this book. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He has washed us. Unto Him that loved us. Now we know this. And washed us. Not in our sins, but from our sins. In His own blood. He has made us kings. He has made us priests. And you know what? What's a kindred? Tell me something. What's a kindred? Okay, the kindred. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. What's a kindred? The Bible says all kindreds shall wail because of Him. The Bible tells us that He is the Prince, and the prince of the kings of the earth. What do you think the Islam, the Buddhist, the Hindus will do when they discover that the one that they denied is the prince over their kingdoms? That's going to happen. Their eyes are going to open up, brother. And you know what? Our eyes need to open up too. Somebody said, I don't know if this is right or not, but somebody said a kindred is one generation. I don't know. I don't know where you'd stop. That's beside the point. But it's when we talk about kindreds, it's something that comes pretty close home. And it says, all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of who Jesus Christ is. You know, I don't know how it is up here. I sort of forget after being gone for many years. But you know, we live in the Bible Belt, what the America people call the Bible Belt. We're 2 hours from Asheville, 1 hour from Charlotte. And they say traditionally right in there is the hub of the Bible Belt. So there's a lot of churches down there. And if I, you know, here's why I say give me a little space. There is a doctrine in America today that tells us the church won't experience any tribulation. The church won't experience any sufferings. The church won't experience any persecutions. The church will be raptured away before that time comes. Now, I want to give you space if you differ from me. But brothers, 2 weeks, a week or two ago at home, one day I talked to three community people, men. And they all profess to be Christians, and I do believe they're brothers. And I just asked them. Started talking about the Lord. And I said, are you familiar with what's happening? And I so appreciated the prayers this morning of the Christians in the restricted countries. Brother, there is things going on in restricted countries today that the majority of the church in America has no concept. I said, have you ever heard of Voice of the Martyrs? No. Have you heard how the Christians are suffering in restricted countries? No. Do you know what the Christians are going through in China? He said, no. I said, Leo, let me tell you something. So I just explained to him. And I said, do you believe, what did I pre-trip, oh yes, I believe in that. And I'm not belittling him. I'm not making fun. I'm just, let's become students of this book, of God's last words.
know what we believe and why we believe, rather than just make it doctrine in our own mind by reading somebody else's interpretation or what somebody else told you. And I said, hey, have you heard what's going on? I mean, I've been in some restricted countries already. You know, I've been in countries where you just, that pressure, the oppression of darkness just almost overtakes you. And so I told him a little bit what's going on in China today. He said, I never heard that. I said, do you still believe? I said, tell me, Leo, what do you think the Christians in China would say if they would know a very popular doctrine in America that they're not going to go through anything like that? And he said, you know, Wayne, I never knew that. I know where you're coming from. But he said, they might have to go through it over there, but we'll be delivered. I said, what a vision. What a vision. And I said, you know, John here said, a brother in tribulation. Are you familiar with what the history tells us about the death of the 12 apostles? Are you familiar? 12 apostles? One of them committed suicide and went to hell. The Bible tells us it would have been better if that man never would have been born. 10 died a martyr's death. 10 died a martyr's death. The cruelest way. Exactly what they're doing today in some restricted countries. Burning at the stake. Crucified upside down. Beheaded. John the Revelator. You know what history tells about him? They tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. They put him in a big vat of boiling oil. And now this is just my own thought. And he was in there cooking like some hush puppies. You know, my wife, who has a small container at home, when she makes French fries, she puts French fries and fries them in boiling oil. She does it with fish sticks. She does it with hush puppies. John the Revelator was in this vat boiling with oil. They couldn't kill him. History tells us, it's not in the Bible. History tells us the island of Patmos was known for a lot of wild beasts. So they figured if we can't get rid of them, we'll just take him out on the island and we'll let the wild beast take care of him. And out of that was born the last book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. History tells us that John lived 2 more years after he came off the island of Patmos. And he went through horrendous persecution and sufferings. Now I have a question for people. And if you believe that the church won't go through some of these things, I grant you that belief. I'm not here condemning you. I'm just here telling each one of us, let's take a look, fresh look at the Bible. What does the Bible say? Now, I'm just going to ask you a question. 12 apostles, Judas turned out bad. 10 of them died a martyr's death. John was trying to be cooked and fried, deep fried in a vat of boiling oil. Can you imagine the doctrine that the people, the Christians, will not go through something like that? What would the apostles have thought? What would John the Revelator think when somebody would try to tell him, you're not going to go through any sufferings, you're not going to go through any tribulations? The Bible, he himself said, I am a brother of tribulation. You know, today, brothers, it happens in restricted countries. You know what I mean by restricted countries? Where Christianity is not allowed. Listen, the cruelest, most... I mean, their words don't describe how they kill and torture brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me tell you, this happens all the time. In a street, in a town, they take a Christian and they tie a chain to one leg and tie a chain to another leg. And at the end of every chain, there's a vehicle. And one vehicle goes east and the other vehicle goes west. And you know the rest. Tell those people. That's not going to happen to you. It happens to them every day. What about the Reformation? Tens upon thousands of people were killed, Christians, the cruelest way. You know, out in a stake, a post in the ground, handcuffed. They put him up against that stake and they wrap a rope from ankle to neck. They wrap a rope around that. You can't move nothing. They pour gasoline or kerosene on you and they torch you. Tell them. Tell our brothers and sisters who went through the Reformation and today the same thing in restricted countries. It's not going to happen. Let's take a fresh look at the Scriptures. But you know, my message is, regardless if they do that to you, brothers, regardless if they rip your legs apart, regardless if your bowels gush out, regardless if they take you to the chop block and cut your head off, brothers and sisters, that is all temporal. But the revelation of Jesus Christ is eternal. We read about the thousand-year reign. We read, you know, taking scriptures and put them together, Old and New Testament scriptures. We come up with 3.5 years. We come up with 7.5 years. And I am not here to preach against them. It's in the Bible. But whatever the outcome of that will be, it's going to be temporary. It's going to be temporary. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, He has made us kings and priests. He has washed us from our sins in His own blood. I could go on. You take the revelation, you take the concept of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and you go through the whole book of Revelations, and you find what God is revealing about Him that is for you. And it's going to live in eternity. His promises are going to live in eternity. That assurance is going to live in eternity. China, you know, thank you, brothers, for praying for the suffering Christians. Last summer, my daughter and I spent 2 weeks in Bangladesh. The poorest country in the world. The most dense populated country in the world. And it's not hard to become good friends with a lot of people in a place like that in 10, 12 days. A young man, his name, you probably heard about it, 14 or 15 years old. His name is Hallel. Just like Hallel Penner. That's in Africa now. Hallel. He took a real interest in the work there. Was there at the base every evening, every morning. But after we came home, he opened his heart. Well, I'm not going to say he opened his heart. The Bible tells us about Lydia, the seller of purple, down there by the riverside, that God opened her heart. So God opened Hallel's heart. And one of the Mennonite missionaries over there took him to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And he got born again. He is being beaten. He is cast out. They beat him. They hold him and just give him 150 quacks across the soles of his feet, across his knuckles. And if he does not give up his faith in Jesus Christ, one of the brethren over there said, he'll very likely end up in the river. That is happening today. We read about the Reformation, what Christians went through back then. And you know, we need to thank God and bless God every day for allowing us the religious freedom that we have yet. We have it. It's so easy to take for granted. But all I can say, life is short and death is sure. Sin, the cause, and Christ, the cure. At its best, whatever we face in life is temporary. Brother Joe, your sickness, people pray for you. People care for you. But brother, it's temporal. One of these days, you're going to have a new body. It doesn't matter if it's 1,000 years later, or 3.5 or 7 years. It doesn't matter if somebody dies at 25 or 105. Life is temporal. And what the church, what God wants individuals and the church to go through is temporal. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, the promises that come with it, will live in heaven. It's for eternity. So as we read through this book, yes, there are things according in this book yet that I believe has not happened that will happen. But brother, I'm not going to let those things that haven't happened yet rob me from the joy and the blessing and the anticipation of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which will live in heaven. We have so many promises. We see Christ in so many different ways that no other 65 books show us. And you know, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And when John the Revelator was laying on the ground as dead, Christ had his hand on him. And he gave him the message for the seven churches in Asia Minor. Just powerful reading through chapter 2 and chapter 3. And at the end, he that has, in chapter 3, verse 22, after he was done, was giving him the message to the seven churches, and he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And then it says, then John said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice, you know, he told him to write things which are, things which were, and the things which will be. And I really believe, and I'm open for correction, but I really believe what Jesus Christ gave John the Revelator in chapter 1, 2, and 3, those two have fulfilled. Then a door opened into heaven. And then he started sharing about things that are yet to come. There are so many things in this book. This is just a scratch. But brothers, if you have a different opinion in some of these eschatology, God bless you. But don't allow your interpretation to rob you from the beautiful promises that are yours by faith. Don't allow that. One revelation of Jesus Christ, in closing here, time is moving on. One revelation in Jesus Christ that is just such a clincher for me, and there's many others. We go back to the Garden of Eden. There in the garden, God, I'm not going to turn to Genesis, God gave our first parents a beautiful garden was trees of fruit in the garden. And he gave him one command. He said, you can eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is that correct? The knowledge of good and evil. Well, Satan came and convinced them if they eat of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they will become like God. And I'm not sure if that wouldn't have been true. I'll just leave that. But they went and ate from this tree. They were allowed to eat from the tree of life. They were allowed to eat of the other trees, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that caused a separation. And because of that, God put them out of the garden and put cherubims at the flaming fires to protect. You know, if they would have not, they had access to the tree of life till they disobeyed God. Then God told them they cannot eat from the tree of life. Do you know why? Now, this is my opinion. Do you know why I feel that God forbade them to eat from the tree of life? Because they rebelled against His command and they were in disobedience. And to partake of everlasting life and disobedience do not go together. They were in disobedience and that separated them from partaking of the tree of life. We read about the tree of life three times in Genesis. Then we go into Proverbs. We don't read about the tree of life in Proverbs. But four times we read about a tree of life, which is a complete different picture than the tree of life in Genesis. And we go all the way to Revelations, and again, we read about the tree of life. And beloved, my idea, my thought, there is a vast difference between a tree of life and the tree of life. But what our parents, our first parents, were forbidden in the Garden of Eden because of their disobedience, the revelation of Jesus Christ introduces us that in Christ, again, we can partake of the tree of life. And brother, that is what counts to me. That is what is exciting to me. That we, as sinful beings as we are, repented of our sins, forgiven and washed in His blood. He's washed our sins away. But in Christ, because of Christ, what was forbidden back in the Garden of Eden through disobedience, in Christ, we can have part. We can take part of the tree of life. And I tell you, in Christ, that's going to live in heaven. The tree of life is going to live in heaven. So, my heart is, study the Scriptures, study the last book, and have your opinion, and have grace for somebody that differs from you. But don't overlook the revelation of Jesus Christ while you're doing it. Because the revelation of Jesus Christ will take us through everything that God wants us to go through. And it might be horrendous, but so what? If we compare it with eternity, it is temporal. But the tree of life, which is ours again in Christ, 60 four books later, the tree of life was available in Genesis to our first mom and dad. Because through their disobedience, they were forbidden to have part. Today, one of the beautiful revelations of Jesus Christ in this book is, through Christ, we can have part of the tree of life again. May the Lord bless. Thanks for listening. And be not weary in well-doing.